Are you lonesome tonight? Do you miss me tonight? Are you sorry we drifted apart? Does your man...
Hello, everybody. Welcome to Significant Lovers.
We are your hosts and we're cousins.
Mm-hmm.
I'm Kel.
And I am Mel.
Mel and Kel. Kel and Mel. Mel is in Atlanta right now.
Yep.
On
a
work
trip.
Mm-hmm. In a hotel room.
Any Georgia listeners listening right
now?
Wow.
You're so far away. Oh my gosh.
Actually, it was only
kind of freaky.
2 hour and 15 minute plane ride. It was pretty quick, actually. Surprisingly.
I know, but when you just think about geographically, like how far away you are from me, it's weird.
I know. Today, I feel like I just was like, you know, some of those travel days where you're just in a bad mood. I was just in a bad mood at the airport. I took forever to get my luggage. And I don't know, today I've just been so cranky. So it's a delight to have the podcast today.
Hopefully this cheers you up.
The high of my day, yeah.
Talking about some other people's relationship problems. And there's a lot today. A lot. Today, we are talking about the infamous Debbie Reynolds and Eddie Fisher.
Infamous.
And then, in parentheses, Elizabeth Taylor.
Ooh, okay, so I really
will come up.
I don't know their story, so that's interesting you say infamous.
All right, yeah, this is going to be crazy.
Oh.
It's a crazy story. And this was recommended by our listener, Charlotte, I think more than once, or maybe by two Charlottes.
Ooh.
But there's definitely two messages we got from someone named Charlotte. So, and...
Oh, yeah, that would be such a coincidence.
I know, it must be the same person. I think a couple other people recommended them, too, because they were in our spreadsheet. But what really caught my attention is Charlotte in the comments said Debbie Reynolds and Eddie Fisher lore, and I was like, that makes it sound like there's a lot to explore, and there is, and I'm really excited to be discussing this today. So let's get ready for it.
So Kel, what three words would you use to describe this couple?
Oh, I was thinking about this. Three words I would use to describe this relationship would be deceptive, naive, and closed off. I know that's two words, but one term. Yeah, this relationship, if you didn't know, is one part of a... Well, I guess this might be a spoiler, but I mean, this happened a long time ago, so I think a lot of people already know. One part of a love triangle with Elizabeth Taylor. It is basically the 1950s version of Brad, Jennifer Aniston, Angelina, sort of. And it's a crazy, crazy story, so I guess we should just get into it.
What's that song that's like, the history book on the shelf is always repeating itself? Interesting.
Yeah, that's definitely true.
Oh my god, I can't wait to hear.
So, who is Eddie Fisher? He was.
Rest in peace.
I almost talked about him in present tense. I know. Rest in peace. Eddie Fisher was born August 10th, 1928 in Philadelphia. He was the fourth kid out of seven kids, and his parents were Jewish immigrants from Russia. I guess I should say, by the way, Eddie Fisher, in case anyone doesn't know, is a... I keep saying... Oh my gosh. I just sometimes feel like I get so close to these people when I'm researching them. Like, they feel so current, but...
I know.
I keep saying... I guess it's okay to say in present tense, but he was a singer. Yeah. We've talked
about
this.
Because people's souls still continue to exist after they're dead, so...
Mm-hmm. He was a singer, and Debbie Reynolds was an actress.
Mm-hmm.
And Eddie, yeah, he was from a Russian Jewish family. His parents' last name was originally Tisch, but then they changed it to Fisher in the 1940s census for some reason.
Okay.
So, could have been Eddie Tisch. Could have been Carrie Tisch, because, yeah, Carrie Fisher is his daughter. He was a very charismatic kid. He sang and performed from a young age, as a lot of the people on this show do. His family called him Sunny Boy. And he became a local star in Philly, performing in shows and on the radio. And he ended up dropping out of high school senior year to pursue music. That might be in our drinking game.
I think it is.
If anyone's drinking along. He did have a great voice. I was listening to some of his music. He did have a really good voice. And he had sort of like a boyish, handsome look. He was pretty short, though. He was 5'5". But Debbie's 5'2", so...
Mm-hmm.
Works out. And he was always called a crooner. So he's referred to as a crooner. Yes. Mm-hmm. He sings like love ballads. This is a description of him from his daughter in a subsequent marriage, Jolie. So she didn't know him, obviously, when he was young, but this is how she described him, which I thought was interesting. She said that Eddie was cool and charismatic, mysterious but funny, and made you feel interesting and beautiful for a moment.
Oh, for a moment.
Mm-hmm.
That
mm-hmm.
sounds kind of like a flaw, actually.
I think it is, Mel. I think it is. In the 1940s, he sang and performed in bands when he was discovered and was put on the Eddie Cantor radio show, which had nationwide exposure, and he was a huge hit on it. He went viral, basically, 1940s version. And then he signed a recording contract with RCA Victor and became their best-selling pop artist at the time.
Wow.
And he was considered a teen idol. People thought he was really cute. He had 17 songs in the top 10 in the music charts between 1950 and 1956, and 35 songs in the top 40. His song Anytime became the first record to sell a million copies. And he has this song I just thought was interesting. He has this song called You're Breaking My Heart that I think oddly foreshadows his relationships, because the main lyrics of the song are, "You're breaking my heart, leaving me for someone new, dot, dot, dot."
Ooh, I'm just looking him up now. He was pretty cute. He had kind of a baby face.
He did have a baby face. And I think when you watch him in video, he's like, because I think in pictures I'm kind of like, yeah, he's okay. But when I saw him in videos, he did come off very cute and charming.
Yeah.
Brown eyes, you know. And something about the fact that he is kind of short makes him cute too.
Yeah.
I don't know. But yeah, so he had a lot of hits in the 40s and early 50s. And he also had a popular TV show called Coke Time with Eddie Fisher.
How cute.
He had a $1 million contract with Coca-Cola, and he was called the Coca-Cola Kid. It was like a nickname.
Oh, wait, did you say Coke Time or Cook Time?
Coke Time.
Oh.
Yeah.
I thought it was like a cooking show he did.
No. Just that Coke was the sponsor, I guess.
Yeah.
So 50s. It's like ultimate 50s. Similar to Elvis, he was drafted into the U.S. Army in 1951, and he did basic training, and then he served a year in Korea. But unlike Elvis, his handlers were actually able to ensure that he would spend 2 years in the military as a soloist in the U.S. Army band rather than do actual duty.
Oh, that's sick.
Yeah.
He was a musician in the Army?
Yeah. He was just a musician. He, like, entertained the soldiers, basically.
Oh, that's really nice.
Yeah. But definitely doesn't... I mean, I wouldn't want to be in the military, so I get it. But it does make Elvis look pretty tough that he actually... Because I was reading into it. I was like, wait, so what did Elvis actually do? And he did things like... I mean, he didn't actually go to war or anything, but he did, like, vehicle maintenance and just... munitions work and latrine cleaning, and you know, he did legit work, but
stuff
Eddie Fisher,
everyday man,
yeah, but he was a singer in the band,
probably one of the better positions to be in.
That's nice that they had a band to entertain.
I know, that is
the
really
troops.
Nice.
But while he was in the military, he was still able to like have television appearances and release music that maybe he recorded ahead of time or something. Like, his career didn't stop. It just kept going. So he kind of benefited from that. And I think before Debbie Reynolds, he was quite a ladies' man and had a lot of flings with women. And I also read that he had a fling with Princess Margaret.
Oh, so wow. I've been really interested
crazy.
In her lately because I'm rewatching The Crown.
Oh, really?
And yeah, that's interesting. I wonder when
it's crazy
he had time
how
for that.
I know.
When
it's crazy how connected
I know.
Everybody is. So, he hasn't met her yet, but who is Debbie Reynolds? Oh my gosh. So she's an actress. You might know her from movies like Singing in the Rain or How the West Was Won.
Halloween she got Town.
Yes, I was going to say those of us, you know, like millennials, younger generation probably know her from Halloween Town as Grandma Aggie Cromwell. She's That's so cute. I was rewatching clips of her. She's beautiful as a grandma.
I know.
Oh my gosh. She's such a beautiful woman. And she's just so cute how she
is vastly overrated. Sorry, what were you saying?
No, just cute how, I mean, I'm all for natural beauty and stuff, but I just think it's cute how much she still, like, did herself up with makeup and her hair and just cute. Yeah, Debbie Reynolds had a very long acting career, and she was born April 1st in 1932 in El Paso, Texas. So Eddie is 4 years older than her. Her real name is Mary Frances Reynolds, and she went by Franny when she was younger. So Franny Reynolds. But then Debbie became her stage name.
Yeah.
I guess they didn't think Franny was hip enough. I don't know.
Franny Reynolds. I think that's cute.
It is cute.
But Debbie's like, oh, Debbie. Think of that time period, I could see that being like the cool girl.
It's so interesting how people just change their names. And, you know, everybody calls her that. Like, does she just think of herself as Debbie? I guess so.
I know.
Her father was a carpenter for a railroad company. Her mother did laundry to make an income. So she definitely grew up pretty poor. And she had an older brother. She was raised in a very strict Nazarene church. And she has said that she was raised very Victorian. So very formal, I'm guessing very strict. She was a Girl Scout, and she was very into it. She loved talking about the Girl
Scouts.
That's
cute.
I know. She was a very wholesome girl when she was younger. She was very clean cut. Her family moved to Burbank, California when she was 7 years old in 1939, and when she was 16, she won Miss Burbank Beauty Contest. And she was offered a contract with Warner Brothers, and that's when she was given the stage name Debbie. So she was signed to Warner Brothers, and, oh, sorry, I think I have the beginning of the story again.
I do that all the time.
I'm like, wait a sec, I just said that. Well, she was discovered by Warner Brothers and MGM. Somehow they both companies were fighting over her. They both wanted to sign her. And they had to flip a coin to see which one would get her.
Oh, that's really cute how fair that is.
I know, it is really fair. Like, all right, let's just... I know, they could have been like, oh, I'll offer you more money or something.
Yeah.
I don't know. Warner Brothers won the coin toss, and she was with them for 2 years. But then when Warner Brothers stopped making musicals, because musicals was really her thing, she moved to MGM. To me, Debbie seemed like a very fast talker, very energetic, funny, charismatic. She did a lot of impressions. She kind of reminded me of Anne Margaret a little bit. Just like how much of a performer she was, and just very light and funny person. And she was very open and almost matter of fact about her life. Debbie Reynolds became friends with Elizabeth Taylor. She was a big star back in the day, but became friends with her at age 17.
Wait, that stinks? They were friends?
Yes.
And this is going to be a love triangle?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
I know. So, Debbie Reynolds became friends with Elizabeth Taylor at age 17. Yeah, so she knew Elizabeth before Eddie. They went to school together on the MGM lot, and Debbie said of her, "I was just a beginner, and she and I were not in any manner alike, but we got along very well because I was in awe of going to school with Elizabeth Taylor. And if anyone said they weren't, then they were lying or blind." Debbie made a big splash in the movie 2 Weeks with Love in 1950. And then she was in the movie Singing in the Rain, which people call the best musical of all time. She had never been kissed before until Singing in the Rain when she was 18. Her first kiss was with Gene Kelly. I know.
That's sweet.
It's crazy.
I feel like that would be a rarity as an actress, especially.
I know. She was very wholesome.
Yeah.
She really was. She even said that she thought she would just act for a few years and then go back to school and become a gym teacher.
A gym teacher?
I think it's so cute. Yeah. But she never did go to college. Her acting career was a success. She was in many movies and TV shows and musicals and stage shows. But we're still in the 1950s, and Debbie meets Eddie Fisher. She wrote about this in her memoir. She wrote, "The first time Eddie Fisher asked me out was as his guest for his opening night at the Coconut Grove in Hollywood. Her friend was sitting next to her, and she said that she left the show when she saw all the photographers taking pictures of Eddie and me together. I didn't learn until much later that he'd also invited her. I bet he went to her house right after he dropped me off in Burbank."
Oh.
So this is her with, like, hindsight, I guess. But...
Wait, is the friend also Elizabeth Taylor, or is it a different
friend? No, it's a different friend.
Oh, wow. Interesting. That kind of reminds me of someone I dated, but whatever.
Oh.
Who always just had a million people he was talking to at once.
Mm-hmm. I feel like Eddie was that way, but I don't think Debbie knew that at the time.
Yeah.
She wrote about that same night later in her memoir in regards to the movie Athena. She wrote, "Probably the most memorable thing about making this movie was meeting Eddie Fisher. Eddie was then a famous singer with his own TV show, and he was constantly being interviewed. When asked by a reporter what young lady he would most like to meet, Eddie answered, 'Debbie Reynolds.' So Joe Pasternak brought Eddie to the set one day and introduced us. We had our pictures taken and then lunch at the commissary. The next day, Eddie called my house and invited me to his opening at the Coconut Grove, a popular nightclub at the Ambassador Hotel in Los Angeles. Johnny Grant, a mutual friend of ours, had given Eddie my phone number. Mother was thrilled. She was a fan of Eddie's TV show."
And how old was Eddie at this time?
Because
he seems pretty established already.
I have to figure this out.
She's like 18?
Yeah, I think so. So he would be 22,
okay.
I think. So it's not like a crazy age difference, but he does have more experience than her.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, by the way,
like, he's kind of like, he is a ladies' man. And what you said about, like, can make people feel special for a moment, that is very dangerous, I feel, especially
it's
at
very
that
dangerous
age, when they make you feel special.
Yes. Keep that in mind.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
What is it from? Oh, an eclipse.
Eclipse. Jane.
I was going to say, by the way, every single person in this story has at least one memoir.
I love that. That's
or
great.
Two. It's kind of ridiculous. No, I didn't. I read excerpts from them, but I didn't read them all. No, but it's kind of crazy. So that's going to come up a lot. We don't know a ton about their early courting days, but they did send telegrams to each other. I'm assuming they went on dates, and it was very cute. And they probably drank Coca-Cola. And there is one telegram that she mentioned in her book. There's one telegram he wrote Debbie as a joke, said, "Just picked up a magazine and didn't see your picture or mine either. What are we going to do?"
He said that?
Yeah.
That's cute.
It is. Ah, he is charming. There have been reports that people have written about that Eddie and Debbie's marriage was arranged by MGM and that they sold the couple as America's Sweethearts. But Debbie, I don't think, has that perspective at all. And I just think that, like, him, it seems like he was asked, "Who do you want to meet?" And he said Debbie Reynolds. Like, to me, that doesn't mean it was a fake relationship or, you know, like, it was all PR. I think that when you become famous, that's like one of the perks of being famous is people are like, "Who do you want to meet? Okay, we'll set it up for you." You know
exactly.
What I mean?
Cause it's like, I mean, that would be like even in real life if you said, "Oh, there's someone that you know at your college or something. Oh, I really want to meet them." And someone that you say that to you might be like, "Oh, I know them. I'll set you up. Like, we can go to this party." And like,
yeah,
when you're famous, you just have connections. So.
Yeah.
If you want to meet them, you can. What's holding you back?
I know. I actually always delusionally think, I don't even want to be famous, but, like, if I was, if someone asked me, like, "Who do you want to meet?" I always, because I feel like that's a question they ask. I don't know why.
Yeah, they do.
I always think about who I would say.
I kind of, you know, they say don't meet your idols, though.
They do.
I don't know if I would want to meet my favorite celebrities.
I know. Maybe not your favorite, but maybe just someone that seems interesting to you.
I would love to meet, like, Oprah.
Oh, yeah. That would be cool. I feel like that wouldn't disappoint, because she knows how to have a good conversation.
Exactly.
You know? That's a good idea. But I also read that his manager didn't want him to commit or, like, get married yet. So that makes me think it wasn't, you know, like, a setup or
no
PR or whatever. But I'll talk about that more later. In 1996, this is way in the future, but he talked about the beginning of his relationship with Debbie. And he said, "I fell in love with Debbie like everyone else did. I watched Singing in the Rain. I watched it in Korea with a lot of other guys." So he had a crush on her. Well, they're dating now, and they become engaged in 1954. They had a huge engagement party at the Beverly Hills Hotel with 400 people.
Wow, that's iconic.
Crazy. I know. That's like a wedding.
Yeah, literally.
It's weird. Wow, that's huge extravaganza.
I wonder
just if, for the pre-party.
Oh, I wonder if everyone invited to the engagement party is then invited to the wedding.
You know what, Mel? I don't think they were. Oh. That's such a good point. Because I think the wedding was a little smaller.
Yeah.
That's weird, though.
I know, yeah. You would expect the opposite.
You would. Apparently, I don't know if this was at the engagement party, but the comedian Henny Youngman joked that Debbie's engagement ring was really a broken piece of a Coke bottle, since Eddie was Mr. Coke. I thought that was funny. They were very publicly in love. Eddie would bring her on stage during performances and would call her my princess.
Aww.
And she would call him my handsome prince. And she went to Philadelphia to stay with his family, and she wrote in her memoir that this was a really happy time in her life. Interestingly, she also wrote that Frank Sinatra advised her to break off her engagement with Eddie Fisher and said, "You should think twice about that, sweetie."
Why? Is it because he knew what Eddie was like, or because he wanted Debbie?
I think because he knew what Eddie was like.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah.
Or I feel like that's a good question for the audience. Like, if you only saw the good parts of someone, but then other people were saying, "Hey, like, you might want to rethink this," what would you do?
That would be so hard.
I know. If it's just hearsay, but, like, to you, they're, like, they're an incredible person, and the relationship is great, and you're super happy.
Yeah, that is a question. What do you think, Mel?
I kind of feel like at this age in my life, like, it depends on who it's coming from, but...
That's true.
I don't think I would be able, my anxiety and everything, I wouldn't be able to just let it go and be like, "Oh, you don't know what you're talking about," because obviously it must be coming from somewhere.
Yeah. I think you would kind of know in your gut if the person was saying something true or not.
Yeah.
You know, I think you'd kind of know if they were confirming your suspicion, or if you were like, "What? No." Maybe that's naive of me, but I feel like I don't know what she thought. I don't know what she thought of that, but if she had any suspicions about Eddie not being who he seemed, then maybe she would have listened to him, but... I don't know. That's tough. Yeah, and it definitely does depend. Like, if it's someone really close to you, you want to kind of think about that. But
yeah,
if it's just, like, an acquaintance that, I don't know.
Also, if it's, like, another, in this situation, it's another man, it makes you call to question, like, well, what's your motivation here?
Yeah, I know. I would be kind of skeptical of Frank Sinatra's advice.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. Just from what I've...
Especially if you're, like, a hottie.
Briefly heard of him. Yeah, yeah, yeah. It's Debbie Reynolds. So, as I said, she was friends with Elizabeth Taylor, and her boyfriend, then husband at the time, was the producer Mike Todd, who was her third husband. And in case anyone doesn't know, Elizabeth goes on to have 7 husbands. That's, like, her claim to fame, besides being an actress. But Mike, Elizabeth's husband, and Elizabeth, Eddie and Debbie were all friends. They were, like, couple friends. In 1955, Eddie and Debbie got married. They were married in the Catskills in New York. And the wedding was really beloved by American audiences. People were calling them America's sweethearts. And I have a newspaper article I want to read. It says, singer Eddie Fisher and actress Debbie Reynolds, who kept the show business world agog for a year with their romance, were married Monday night in a 3-minute ceremony. Eddie kissed his bride with gusto, and she sighed with delight. Sullivan County Judge Lawrence Cook performed the simple ceremony in a cottage at the Hotel Grossinger, a Catskill Mountain resort 100 miles from New York. Eddie got his start there 6 years ago. Eddie mumbles. The young couple repeated their marital vows in clear voices, but Eddie's I do was barely audible in the living room of the cottage, crowded with relatives and friends. 6 candles burned in a candelabra. The room was banked with white flowers. In another room, a 6-tiered, 5-foot wedding cake was the centerpiece for the wedding reception. After the ceremony, Judge Cook told the bride and groom, "I know the ceremony was planned for yesterday. I admire you, Mr. Fisher, for keeping the precepts of your religion, and you, Mrs. Fisher, for respecting your husband's beliefs. Yom Kippur." He referred to the Yom Kippur, the Jewish Day of Atonement, which began Sunday and ended sundown Monday. Eddie is Jewish and spent the day at a quiet religious service and meditation. The wedding was delayed for an hour because the bride's mother, Mrs. Maxine Reynolds of Burbank, California, arrived late. Heavy traffic held her up, and she needed time to dress for the nuptials.
Aww.
I like that detail. Okay, that seems very real to me, too.
Yeah.
Just a little bit more about the claim. I asked Charlie this. Like, do you think people actually get married just for PR? And he said, yeah, sure. And so then I was researching it, and I came across some articles saying that, like, there have been celebrities that get married, but they don't actually get married. Like, they don't actually legally get married. They just have a wedding.
Oh, really?
But, like, yeah. Who? There was, like, some reality people.
Brody Jenner?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah.
There's been people... they just never actually do it. It's like they just have the ceremony and party. So, yeah, I just find it hard to believe people would literally, like, have children.
Yeah, especially, like, if you're having religious parts of your ceremony. I just don't think that you would really fake that. But, I mean, some people do get married for reasons other than that they love each
other.
That's true. People have arranged marriages, and people get married for business purposes, in a sense. So
that's true. It's not,
like, a huge stretch to think that people would have ulterior motives.
Yeah, like, and we've said before, too, that, like, sometimes people might not even be, like, consciously in a PR relationship, but it kind of is, if that makes sense. You know what I mean?
I mean, even, like, Elton John got married to a woman, like, in the 70s or whatever, and obviously that was, like, arranged. Like, it wasn't because he wanted to. It was, like, for the look of it. So yeah. I do think people might get married for those reasons, but...
That's true. Well, we'll explore. Debbie has said that she was very inexperienced before their marriage, that she was a virgin who still lived with her parents, but Eddie was definitely not. In 1956, Debbie Reynolds and Eddie Fisher had their first child together, a daughter named Carrie Fisher, who you guys probably know. She's Princess Leia in Star Wars. She's in When Harry Met Sally. Scene stealer, honestly. She's hilarious. I was, like, getting distracted. I'm like, this is supposed to be about Debbie Reynolds and Eddie Fisher, but I started going down a Carrie Fisher rabbit hole, and I know so many people already know this, and I'm, like, so late to the game, but she is just awesome.
Oh, yeah.
Like, she is so funny, so down to earth, just, like, the coolest lady. I love her. I'm, like, becoming obsessed with her, so.
I know.
Wow.
Yeah, she seemed awesome.
Yeah. So she was born. Eddie and Debbie starred in a movie together called Bundle of Joy as the leads. It was a musical, and it was a remake of, like, a 1930s movie, but it was basically about a woman that finds a baby left on a doorstep and becomes responsible for the baby, and then she falls in love with Eddie Fisher's character, and... you know, there's all these, like, random reasons that she's, like, pretending that's her baby, and, you know. But it seemed cute, and maybe I'll, like, put in a clip of them singing together.
Dream, how I love dream, my pretty baby.
Be an angel dream.
Sweet and precious pretty baby.
Dream, be a darling heart.
How I love my pretty baby.
To goodness I do, honest to goodness I do.
But apparently, according to her memoir, her and Eddie were fighting a lot while filming this because he was new to acting. He wasn't an actor, and he was sort of struggling, and she would try to help him, but he wouldn't accept her advice and would get kind of annoyed when she gave him pointers, and they had a fight on the way to set one day. He was picking at her for wearing a cross necklace since he was Jewish. They had some, like, argument about that, and they started fighting, and then she said, "Let me get out of the car," and she got out of the car and walked, like, 3 blocks to set, so they definitely had some drama during that movie.
Yeah, I could see that. She's just trying to help him out, but yeah, he probably had kind of a fragile ego.
It seemed like he did, but, you know, he was just a singer.
Yeah.
But people didn't know about that. They thought it was just, I mean, I think their marriage was still okay, but they were fighting. But everyone did still think of them as this, like, wholesome couple, America's sweethearts. They just had a baby, and they had a baby in this movie. It felt like it was really them, you know?
Yeah, no, I was going to say, that's interesting, the parallel with them having just had a baby in real life.
Yeah.
But I bet also having a newborn at home was, like, adding stress to them.
Yes.
I'm sure they had help, but...
Probably. I read that Eddie was performing at the Tropicana Hotel in Vegas, and that he had some affairs during that time.
Oh.
Including the model Pat Sheehan. I know.
Damn it.
And I don't know if Debbie knew about that, but...
Mm-hmm.
And then 1958, they had a second child, a son named Todd Fisher.
Mm-hmm.
And Todd is actually named after their couple friend, Mike Todd and Elizabeth Taylor.
Oh.
That couple. Because they were such good friends with him that they named their son after him.
Oh, my God. He's such good friends with Todd, and then later he's going to get with Liz Taylor?
Yes.
Todd's ex?
Yes.
Mm.
So, tragically, 4 weeks after Todd Fisher was born, on March 22nd, 1958, Mike Todd was killed in a plane crash.
Oh,
mm-hmm.
That's terrible. I guess that's a little bit different.
I know. It was a cross-country flight on an 11-seater plane. It was his plane that he called the Liz, and it was heading to the East Coast, and it encountered a storm over Nevada, and the plane went down. And Todd, the pilot, co-pilot, and Art Cohn, who was writing Todd's biography, all died. It's so tragic.
Ugh.
And scary.
Wait, so did they name the baby Todd before that or after that?
Yeah, before.
Wow, that's kind of crazy.
Which is kind of weird. I know.
But he was just like a regular friend.
Mm-hmm.
I always thought in Jewish tradition, maybe this is like Orthodox Jewish, you're not supposed to name your baby after someone who's still living.
Hmm. That's weird, if that's true.
I'm not sure if it is. I just heard that once, but... I guess it's a little bit different. Like I said earlier, oh, he gets with his friend's ex.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know. Like, if your friend died, I think you have to wait a while. But mm-hmm. I feel like most people, I don't know. What do you guys think? I feel like most people would think, oh, I want my friend and my significant other to be happy. And, like, I'm not around. So, like,
that's
you're
true.
Happy if they can be together. I don't know.
Yeah. I feel like people did interpret it very differently. Like, there were two sides to it for sure.
Yeah.
That aspect. I know, it's tough, but the fact is he isn't alive to be jealous or anything, so
yeah.
It does change things. And they both did love Mike Todd, so, you know.
Yeah.
But anyway.
Like, that could be bonding.
Yes, but Elizabeth was absolutely distressed, inconsolable.
Yeah.
She couldn't eat. She was just devastated. Ugh, I would be too. That is just so scary, the thought of someone dying in a plane.
I know.
So I would just feel so horrible if that happened to someone I loved. So Debbie went over to Liz's house and offered to take care of Elizabeth's 3 children.
Mm-hmm.
She'd have 3 children while she grieved. So over the next few weeks, Debbie was busy taking care of 5 kids, like her 2 kids and then Elizabeth's
That's...
3 kids.
That's so sweet mm-hmm. of her.
It is really sweet.
So they were really, really close, that they were helping out in her time
yeah.
of need. Wow.
I would say they were, like, best friends.
Wow.
And Eddie, interestingly, went to take care of Elizabeth to cheer her up, to keep her company. And Debbie wasn't worried, she said. After all, Eddie had loved Mike, too. Eddie was just being there for her during this horrible time. And the weird thing is, in her memoir, Debbie says Eddie was staying at her house for days and would come home to get fresh new clothes.
No, why
would he sleep over? I don't understand.
I'm sure she does have other friends who can be there for her.
That is weird to me.
That's weird.
That makes me wonder, like, did you think something was going on? Were you kind of okay with it? Like, why would you be okay with your husband sleeping over?
Yeah, it makes me wonder if, like, something happened before. Like, if they had even if they didn't act on it, if they had, like, feelings for each other. Also, like,
I know.
You're taking care of 5 kids on your own. You're taking care of Liz's kids. And she's, like, up to no good with your husband.
I know. It's that so strange.
I know she's grieving, but that does not sit right with me.
I know. That doesn't sit right with me either. I thought that was really strange. Like, I wish I could ask Debbie Reynolds, like, what did you think of that? Why was that normal for him to be sleeping over?
No.
And
in the same
also,
bed?
Oh, no, I don't know. She didn't say. Yeah. She didn't say. Apparently, also, at this time, Elizabeth Taylor's recent ex-husband, so her second husband, Michael Wilding, was hanging around, too. I don't really know why. I don't know why he resurfaced at this moment, but he was hanging out, helping out also, and he was hopeful that he was going to get back together with Elizabeth Taylor now that Mike Todd had died.
Okay, that's so, like, pretty bad.
He's also kind of in the picture. I know. Oh my gosh. But Elizabeth did get back to work. She was filming Cat on Hot Tin Roof and then had to do press for it because this was in March. So I don't know if they just edited movies really quickly or something, because then the movie came out in August. So she went to the premiere in New York, and Debbie knew that Elizabeth was there, and she thought that Eddie was on tour performing, and she was alone in the house with the kids and was feeling kind of lonely, and she called Elizabeth at her hotel to chat, and that's when Eddie answered the phone.
Are you kidding me?
No!
Wait, she thought that Eddie was on tour?
Yeah.
So he lied to her?
Yes.
Oh my God.
And apparently Debbie
said... with the kids. That's terrible.
Debbie said, "Roll over, darling, and let me speak to Elizabeth." I know! It's crazy!
Oh, my God. She must have had some suspicions, I think.
She must... I know, the sleeping over thing is really questionable to me.
Yeah.
She had to have had some... Like, I think there must have been some denial going on. Debbie told Daily Mail in 2010, she said, "Suddenly a lot of things clicked into place. I could hear her voice asking him who was calling. They were obviously in bed together. I yelled at him," as I just said, "roll over, darling, and let me speak to Elizabeth." And
oh
she
my
said,
God.
"I was the last to find out about the affair. There had been hints in the papers, and I had noticed that when I turned up at functions or parties on my own, my friends were whispering."
Aww. Debbie.
I know.
It seems like she was so wholesome, though, too, that she just, like, trusted him.
Yeah, I know. I think she did.
Oh, my heart breaks for her. I hope it.
Debbie.
She ended it with him right away. I hope.
Well,
no.
Nope. No, but I'll get to that in a minute.
That's unforgivable. That's awful.
I know. But so, like, how did the public first find out about this? Of course, there were rumors in the magazines and such, as she said, but the gossip columnist Hedda Hopper called Elizabeth Taylor and asked about the rumors about her and Eddie Fisher, and surprisingly, Elizabeth admitted to it. She said, "I don't go about breaking up marriages. You can't break up a happy marriage. Debbie's and Eddie's never has been." And Hedda demanded, "What do you suppose Mike would say to this?" And Elizabeth said, "Well, Mike is dead and I'm alive," which... is apparently an echo of her line in Cat on a Hot Tin Roof. And then she said, "What do you expect me to do, sleep alone?"
That's so selfish. I mean...
I know.
She could just go back with the other ex-husband that's trying to get back with her. She has a whole line of people ready to date her that she could pick from. She could get any man she wants. She doesn't have to go after her friend's husband.
I know.
So she's not a girl's girl.
No, definitely not. Definitely not. I know. Why him? I mean, people have said that both Elizabeth and Eddie just missed Todd so much that, you know, they wanted to be with, like, the person closest to him.
Mm.
But, I mean, that's not an excuse, I don't think. And, no. You know, I asked you guys on Patreon, I asked a poll, just scrolling to it, I asked about dating a friend's ex. Now, this is not dating a friend's ex, this is dating a friend's current husband, but I felt like that was
pretty bad.
I felt like that was too horrible and specific to make a poll. Like, who would be okay with that?
Yeah, like, you know, I don't know.
But let's just say, okay, let's say she's right, and maybe she was, that their relationship wasn't good anyway. I mean, they were still married.
Kids together.
Yeah, but let's just say maybe Elizabeth Taylor's right and that they didn't have a good marriage, whatever. But anyway, I polled you guys and said, dating a friend's ex an inexcusable offense, or is it sometimes justified? And 58% of you said, it depends, love is love. And 42% of you said, never okay to date a friend's ex. So it's pretty close.
How do you feel about it?
Well, okay, this situation is definitely more dramatic than, like, they're not even broken up yet, so I think it's a bit different. And I agree, like, people commented, and I do agree with a lot of people that it really depends. It depends how close you are with your friend, I think. It depends how recently they broke up. It depends how serious the relationship was. But, like, let's say it is your best friend. I think best friend, no. I don't think that's okay.
No. I don't think so. Unless it was, like, a casual fling and they don't care and they're totally
that's
over
true.
It. And then they're like,
but
yeah,
you,
sure.
You really have to, you have to make sure the other person doesn't care.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Because sometimes people assume, like, oh, it wasn't a big deal. Yeah.
You need your friend's blessing for sure.
Yes.
But I think most people wouldn't, unless your best friend didn't really care, most people wouldn't do that unless they didn't really value the friendship that well. And, like, you might not know that someone didn't really value your friendship until they did something like that. Like, Debbie probably thought she was really good friends with Elizabeth, but, like, when all is said and done at the end of the day, Elizabeth didn't give a shit about her friendship because she was willing to throw it away.
Yeah. Yeah. I want to read some comments. Teresa said, I got into a serious argument with a coworker about this. I am team it depends forever. She was arguing so vehemently against it, how it is never okay under any circumstances, and I was getting so aggravated because even though I personally would think very hard before dating a friend's ex, I think relationships are way too complicated for never/always type rules. Like, come on, context exists. Yeah, I agree with that.
Mm-hmm.
I do agree. It really depends. It's hard to have rules for, like, everything. Kate said, I feel in some friend groups there's so much overlap. I feel like it has to happen occasionally, but I believe in a chart of amount of time that has passed and how serious the relationship was to determine what's respectable or not.
Oh, yeah. Like, any TV show, there's overlap within the friend group.
Oh, I know. I know.
They're always dating their friends' exes.
Yes. Miroslava said, if they are truly over each other, ... Also, if the ex didn't do something really bad.
Yeah. Yeah. If this ex, like, left you crying and you were, like, confiding in your friend and they were consoling you, like, it's off limits.
That's why I think what happened on Girls, HBO, was not cool.
Oh, yeah. I don't think it's cool, Jessa.
Mm-mm.
Nope.
You listened to Hannah talk about Adam for years.
Mm-hmm.
No. But yeah, I guess some people just make a decision. They're like, you know what? This friendship isn't as important to me as this romantic partner, so.
But also,
I'm gonna go for it.
Shitty of Eddie Fisher to not have some self-control to be like,
I know.
Like, if he wants out of the marriage, that's one thing. But again, like, you can have your, you have options. You don't have to get with your wife's good friend and, like, break her heart even harder than it has to.
I know. And I do think why, I mean, it's probably really scary. We're not all perfect, you know, we're all learning on this earth, but it would have been admirable if someone talked to Debbie about what was happening, you know?
Yeah,
just to blindside her like that is really shitty.
Yeah, and I think like traumatizing, like that type of betrayal, because then for the rest of her life, she's going to wonder, like, is anybody even being honest with me? Can I trust anybody? Mm-hmm. Especially the fact that, like, other people knew, besides, like, the fact that she was, like, the last to know.
It's so sad. It's so sad. There were tons of paparazzi and journalists outside their house constantly. It seemed really overwhelming. And I was just looking at her memoir, and I won't read this whole thing, but it was clear to me that her and Elizabeth were really good friends. They were in Elizabeth and Mike's wedding. She was the matron of honor. Eddie was Mike's best man.
Wow.
They, you know, hung out all the time, had dinner. I'm not finding it right now, but there was some story about her, like, washing Elizabeth's hair. Like, they were really close. So it's not like they were just acquaintances or something. Yeah. They were best friends. But Eddie and Debbie didn't break up right away, though. They did stay together for at least, like, 6 more months.
Mm-hmm.
She really didn't want to get divorced, and she was very religious. She said, I was very religious, so I didn't believe in divorce.
Mm.
But they laid guilt on me that I was keeping them and their true love apart.
Ugh.
So I finally let Eddie off the hook. And
Interestingly,
there were a lot of headlines at the time that said, like, let Eddie and Elizabeth be happy. So even though most people were on Debbie's side, there were some people on the other side that were like, let him be with Elizabeth, which I find interesting.
Yeah, that is a lot like Jennifer Aniston and Angelina Jolie, though, because I feel like Angelina Jolie, she was seen as like the more, obviously,
Jennifer Aniston. Oh my gosh, it's so similar. Yeah.
Like, Jennifer is really hot, but like Angelina was seen as the sexier one in a sense. And like,
yes.
Jennifer was the girl next door.
And that's so Debbie, the girl next door.
Mm-hmm.
And then Elizabeth Taylor is this seductress, sexy.
Yeah.
And both
it's like
of
the white swan and the black swan.
Yes. And it's the truth, like, both of the women they left for had dark hair. And
yeah.
I don't know. It is interesting. And then there were people on Angelina Jolie's side, too. You know, they're just like, Brad's not happy with Jen. He should be with Angelina. You know?
Yeah, people, there are contrarians.
Yes. But they did get divorced.
Mm-hmm.
Divorced February 19th, 1959, after 4 years of marriage. They actually weren't married that long in the grand scheme of things. Debbie told the Saturday Evening Post, when I came home from Europe, people kept asking me, will you give Eddie a divorce or won't you? It wasn't a new question. Eddie had asked me, and I said no, but when I was coming home on that plane and I knew there would be people waiting for me at the airport, I prepared a last statement on the subject. It was this: the position in which I am placed makes it necessary for me to give my consent, but they would have gotten married anyway. And then she said, seems like all I did last year was prepare statements. It was a very pressured year for me. In that 1 year, I had enough emotions to wear me out.
I mean, it sucks, but, like, at the end of the day, like, you can't keep someone... You can't
stay
married if someone doesn't want to be married to you.
It's so sad.
If someone wants to divorce you, just... It's for your own benefit to let them go.
Later in life, this is way... I mean, I'm jumping ahead, but I just wanted to put it here because their daughter, Carrie Fisher, you know, she would do comedy shows. And she told the story about Eddie leaving her mother for Elizabeth Taylor, and she described it, he rushed to her side, gradually moving her to the front.
Oh my God.
He consoled her with flowers, and ultimately he consoled her with his penis.
Oh my God. Did he have a relationship with his kids?
So I was gonna say this in a bit, but he was pretty distant with Carrie and Todd, which is sad.
Yeah.
And Debbie said that was the most hurtful thing that he did, more than like the whole Elizabeth Taylor thing, just that he was distant. Yeah. Carrie really had issues with... I think all of his kids had a lot of issues with him. So, I don't think he was such a great guy.
Did he have kids with other people besides Debbie?
Yes, he did. Later in life, In a Larry King interview, Eddie claimed that he didn't leave Debbie for Elizabeth and that they were already going to get divorced. But then I wrote, what's the truth? Mm-hmm. He, because if it was true, then, like, why did it take a while? Why were people, like, begging Debbie to let them divorce? So I don't believe Eddie. I don't really believe things he says. So I just don't buy that.
Why don't you, like, when people say stuff like that, we were gonna get divorced. Okay, well, then why not just wait until you are divorced?
That's true.
Like, just get divorced and then get together. Like,
yeah, I know. Because also, it seems to me like you were gonna, but you didn't. That seems to me that you were trying to fix your relationship, maybe, or trying to work on it. But then sleeping with Elizabeth Taylor is not trying to work on your marriage
or make it
work.
Or,
there was, like, absolutely no hope of you making that work if you do that. So,
and also, like, regardless, you obviously weren't being honest with her about you being with Elizabeth. So it's like a betrayal no matter what. I hope he felt guilty, but it doesn't seem like he did.
No. I've read people said that, like, he, I don't know if I included it, but that he doesn't seem to acknowledge that he did anything wrong.
He almost seems like a narcissist.
Mel, that's what, okay, later in this document, and I'm sorry this is getting long, but I have, like, my, like, thesis that he's a narcissist. Because I think he is.
I'm getting that vibe.
I think he is. And that's why I don't believe things he says.
Yeah. It seems like he's really good at charming people, but then he abandons them without any remorse at all.
Yes. And this rumor that their relationship was just studio arranged was said by him. So I just don't believe it.
No.
I don't believe him.
I don't either.
No one has anything good to say about him once they get to know him.
That sucks, though. It sucks that he, like, comes across so different.
I know. Well, that's how narcissists are. They're so charming. They are infectious. They make you feel so special. That's why they're dangerous.
Exactly. And then I feel like once they betray you, you're still looking for that person to come back, like the original person.
Where did he go?
I know. That's so, because it does seem like
the beginning of their relationship was so happy and sweet, and my princess, you know. Mm-hmm. She also referenced, and it's pretty out in the open, that Eddie did have drug problems, and that he was getting high from his friendly physician, Mr. Needles.
Oh.
I know. I'm not sure what he was taking with needles, but can't be good.
No. Usually never is.
It does seem like a source of issue in their relationship was that Eddie didn't think that she was sexual enough for him. But I find it kind of funny that twice in her memoir, she said that Eddie didn't show her what he wanted and implied that, like, maybe if he showed her what he wanted or showed her what to do, it wouldn't have been a problem. And then she wrote, obviously, Eddie felt the need to blame our failed marriage on me.
Yeah. Ugh, that's so hurtful.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But, I mean, even though it sounds like their relationship was kind of strained, I think that they were still definitely married.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, I don't think that they weren't really together, separated or anything. They definitely were together when this all happened.
Well, it happened so quickly, too.
Yeah, it did. So 3 months after their divorce, Eddie Fisher and Elizabeth Taylor married.
Oh my God.
On May 12th, 1959. Weirdly, on Wikipedia, it says that they got married the same day that Debbie and Eddie divorced.
Oh, wow.
But that's not true. Huh. I don't know why. It's like, I even saw that online. Like, they got married the same day their divorce was finalized. But it's actually not true.
I wonder if you can do that. If you get married in one day.
That would be insane.
A lot to process.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah, so as I said, he was pretty absent with his kids from then on. Debbie wrote, he wasn't mean or vicious to us, just absent. Mm-hmm. And Carrie and Todd Fisher have said many times that Eddie was not present in their life, but as tough as this was for tearing their families apart, this did greatly benefit Debbie's career. She was more in demand than ever. Like, America really took her side in this love triangle. However, Eddie Fisher's star power was forever tarnished by this. Yeah, his TV show was not renewed in 1959, and he was soon back to touring nightclubs and lounges. And his son said, well, Todd wasn't even there, but, like, I mean, he was, but he was, like, a baby. But he said, there was outrage. My dad had, like, contracts canceled for morality clauses. It literally ruined his career.
Wow. Yeah, I feel like that doesn't really often happen.
I know.
With men particularly. Like, Brad Pitt, like, his career did not suffer at all.
Oh, my gosh, not at all.
But, I mean, it's, in a way, it's, like, kind of embarrassing for him. I'm sure he found other people after Elizabeth Taylor, but it's like, okay, you leave your wife, like, you were this it couple, and, like, you leave your wife to just be, like, granted, we didn't know how many times she would get married at the time, but, like, the fourth husband out of seven. Like, okay.
I know. Yeah, he doesn't even know what's gonna happen. And that might be the moral of the story sometimes. Like, a simpler life is better. Maybe you just should have stayed with Debbie Reynolds. Like, just, I just don't think good things came for him after this. But it's the past.
Mm-hmm.
Elizabeth's career suffered a little bit. There was, like, a little dip, like, backlash. Some people think she didn't win the Oscar for Cat on the Hot Tin Roof because of this.
Mm-hmm.
But her career did bounce back. She did win an Oscar later, but kind of reminds me of, like, Kristen Stewart. Like, I feel like there was a little while that people hated her, and she lost some roles, but then she came back full swing, and people love her now.
People can't forget about that.
Yeah. So, I gotta say, I am pretty happy with America, for 1950s America, for, you know, seemingly siding with the women more, and hating Eddie Fisher. I'm not going to touch on Eddie and Elizabeth too much because I'm going to go into them next time. But as for the rest of Debbie's life in the 1960s, she remarried the millionaire businessman Harry Carl. And they were together from 1960 to 1973, but he had gambling problems and he spent all her money.
Oh,
and it took her like 12 years to get out of his debt.
Oh, my God, she can't get
a break. I know. I know. She seemed to love being a mom, and she was a Girl Scout troop leader for Carrie Fisher's troop and her stepdaughter, Harry Carl's daughter. She continued to act and perform. In 1965, Debbie and Elizabeth both had movies out at the same time. Elizabeth's was The Sandpiper, and Debbie's was The Unsinkable Molly Brown, and this caused the public to relive and rehash the drama.
Oh, yeah.
I'm sure there were, like, magazine articles. Yeah. Like, remember when this happened a couple years ago? Let's get into it again.
I feel like people are always doing, even, like, even though I don't even think there was necessarily cheating involved, I don't know, we'll see, but with Selena Gomez and Hailey Bieber.
Oh, yeah.
Like, every few years, people keep hitting them against each other and being like, are you Team Haley?
I know. Like,
okay, that was years ago now.
I know. Yeah, and they still do that with Jen and Angelina, too.
Oh, yeah, to this day.
Yeah, so they were pitted against each other. The Sandpiper did do better at the box office, but Debbie was nominated for an Oscar for Unsinkable Molly Brown, so who won that battle? I don't. It's kind of...
I think if you're nominated for an Oscar.
Yeah, I know. That's true.
I definitely would rather win the critical.
Yeah, that's true.
Critical acclaim rather than the box office success.
Me too. Debbie told People in 1983, I never felt bitter about Elizabeth. A man doesn't leave a woman for another woman unless he wants to go. You know, when Mike Todd died, I sent Eddie to help Elizabeth. I don't think she ever really loved Eddie. He was an interim interest during her mourning period.
Yeah.
Ooh.
That's really mature of her, though. I saw a TikTok once of Shay Mitchell from Pretty Little Liars.
Oh.
And she was giving an interview on a podcast, and she said that her mentality is, if you can take him, you can have him. She's like, I don't want that kind of guy. If you can take him, then he's yours, because he's not worth it then. Which I feel like is such a good mindset to have of like, okay, I'm not stressed about someone trying to take my man, because if you want him, then okay, go for it.
Yeah, that's true. That's, I like Shay Mitchell. That's very empowering thought to have. But that is tough. And I wonder if she came to that conclusion quickly, or if that was like over the years. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Well, I'm sure in hindsight she started to put the pieces together and be like, okay, this is his character. Mm-hmm. And like, I feel like I've been realizing this too. Like, people are only as attractive as how they treat you. And so she probably lost her feelings for him when she realized like, okay, that's really the kind of guy he is to his core. Someone who would do that to me.
I agree. 1981, Eddie wrote a memoir. And he wrote very bitterly about Debbie Reynolds, saying that their marriage was doomed from the start, and some of the things I already mentioned, that like, oh, we were set up by the studio or whatever. And Debbie said she never read it. She told people, his memory of what went on in our life is absolutely not true. I didn't want to read it because I didn't want to get upset. I'm trying not to dislike him. He's the father of my children.
How disrespectful of him, though. Okay, I guess like Debbie did kind of tell her story, but like, you haven't even been in your kids' lives, and now you're shitting on
their
mom.
I know, you asshole.
Cheated on? Dude. It'd be one thing if he came out years later and was like, had a reckoning and was apologetic.
No. And okay, you know what's crazy? So he had one book, and then he had another book, which was basically rehashing the same stories, but this time with like more sexual details.
Ew.
I know.
What a pig.
I know. And I actually wrote down two Goodreads reviews of his book. Because I thought it supported my thesis that he is a narcissist. And so this reviewer, Kiana, wrote, "But no, he is not an endearing individual. Still, if you want to read a truly sensationalist and sordid piece of insanity and narcissism, been there, done that, absolutely delivers." That's what it's called. And Stephanie G wrote, "If you know anything about Eddie Fisher, I didn't, then I hope you are prepared to learn that he's a narcissist." We're not the only ones. Yeah. I just think, okay, him changing the story like that, I think that is also a tendency of narcissists to, like, rewrite history because they're, like, deflecting blame.
Yeah, and victimizing themselves.
Yes, can never be wrong, can never apologize. People say that that's a telltale sign of a narcissist, is if they don't apologize.
That's a terrible quality to have.
Yeah. And I don't know if he ever did, but, like, at least publicly, he hasn't really expressed remorse about it or anything. Mm-hmm. And, yeah, I just think I was just hung up on the him saying it was, like, not a real relationship, or, like, implying it wasn't a real relationship, or, like, that it was just studio arranged, because I just, she's been described as this, like, tough-as-nails Christian woman.
Yeah.
Would she really fake it? And would she really put it off divorce for so long? I don't get it. And then why would she stop talking to Elizabeth Taylor? Because she did.
And also, if that was the case, why did you enter into it into the first place if you were going to do this?
Yeah.
You probably had a choice there. And he said that he wanted to meet her.
That's true.
And you had two kids. You obviously slept together. Like,
I know, right? To later be like, oh, our marriage was a sham and horrible. Like, I just don't believe him. I really feel like he couldn't face any guilt or take any ownership for what he did.
Obviously,
the
sham was him, obviously. Mm-hmm.
And even this New York Times article from 2004, it was talking about Carrie Fisher's stand-up show, and her dad, Eddie Fisher, was in the audience, and she was like cracking jokes at his expense. And the article said, "And throughout the confrontation, the 76-year-old Mr. Fisher smiles and chuckles at his daughter's needling with the benign, maddening complacency of a lifelong narcissist."
Oh, my God.
And then it continues, "Mr. Fisher clearly has not been forgiven, perhaps because he apparently still does not understand or care to learn what he did wrong. Mm-hmm. And this kind of family tension is not limited to Hollywood stars and their children."
Wow. Yeah, it's really hard to forgive someone who's not sorry.
It is. I think that you can have some empathy for them, maybe, because, like, he's clearly messed up. Like, I think he did drugs a lot. And people that act that way, you know, don't know how to love, really. And it's sad at the end of the day. But yeah. They can cause a lot of destruction, so.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Sorry, I have, like, so much more. I, like, compiled all this evidence that he was a narcissist. Also, that Debbie wrote, he blamed me whenever he made mistakes. And also, I mentioned this before, that his daughter, Jolie Fisher, from his other marriage,
mm-hmm.
also, she has a memoir. And she trashed on Eddie Fisher a lot. And she mentioned that in his memoir, this is crazy with the memoirs. Instead of rap battles, it's like memoirs.
I know.
In his memoir, he misspelled his daughter Trisha's name.
Throughout his own book?
I think so. And Jolie said, like, really, how could that happen?
Oh my God.
I know.
Unless the copy editor corrected it, but.
Yeah.
Really bad.
I know. So even his own daughter. Not just Carrie, but his other daughter was like, this guy kind of sucks.
I think it'd be different, too, if he did that, but he was still present father. But the fact that he also, like, neglected his parental duties and let his ex-wife be, like, a single mother, it's just unforgivable.
So Debbie Reynolds did have a third marriage to real estate developer Richard Hamlet. She seemed to really love him, but he cheated on her, too.
Oh, and my God.
I know. I feel bad for her that she had these three marriages that seemed to cause her a lot of difficulty.
I know. Like, what's it all for?
I know. But she did seem to gain a lot of confidence and nonchalance as she got older and always had, like, a sense of humor about it. Like, in an interview in 1992, she just really casually said, I have terrible taste in men. I know, what's it all for? I don't know, but she seemed to have a really loving relationship with her kids. And what's most fascinating, or one of the most fascinating things about the story, is that Debbie and Elizabeth eventually reunited.
Really?
But maybe I should save that for next episode. I don't know.
Ooh.
What do you think?
I don't know. I'm okay with a cliffhanger.
Okay. Yeah, I'll put it in there. To the Express in 2015, Debbie said, my three husbands all left me for another woman, and obviously I wasn't a very sexual lady. My husbands all repeatedly said the same thing, that I was not a very passionate woman. I have never wished that I had more sex. I was never a sex queen in real life, and I was never pursued by men. Okay, I don't think that's true. I think you were pursued by men. I was friends with Elizabeth Taylor, Ava Gardner, Lana Turner, and they craved and loved sex and talked about it. They were very sensuous women, desiring passion. It seemed to me I was more interested in raising my children, not in pursuing my husbands. I appreciate her being honest about that.
I know.
I feel like most people would not. And it's interesting. It almost seems to me like she's trying to take some responsibility or something.
Yeah. But I feel like a lot of women feel the same way.
Yeah. Me too.
But also it's like, okay, he wasn't really that present of a father. So, like, she didn't really have time to be probably as sexual or, like, as fun, because she was the one who was raising the kids, like, pretty much all on her own.
That's true. And that takes a lot out of you.
Yeah.
She was still working. I mean, they probably had help, but yeah. And I think that turns you off, too, when your husband is not very invested. Like, why would you want to sleep with
him? Yeah, exactly. To reward them.
But, I don't know. I mean, I still think even if you don't have high sexual urge, you could still make it work. I don't think that has to mean that.
Yeah.
You know,
and that's something
doomed.
That you can, like, communicate in a healthy way.
That's true. That's why I wrote for one of their words was, did I say closed off? Because I don't think they communicated very well.
No.
To me, it seems like they had issues and they didn't know about it. They were kind of just quietly thinking about their problems and not expressing it. I don't know if Eddie Fisher gets any better. Yeah. But she did write, I can't regret Eddie Fisher. When we first married, I loved him dearly, and we had two beautiful children who were the joys of my life, and he's given me a source of jokes for the past 50 years. Thanks, Eddie.
Oh, my God.
Yep.
Wait,
so
I'm so intrigued. I'm so intrigued about how her and Elizabeth reunited. It was a through professional.
I'm not going to say.
Oh,
don't Google it. Don't Google it.
Got it. You guys, you got to listen to the next episode to get the scoop.
Mm-hmm. I was going to share it, but you know what? That dawned on me. It would be good to... Because the story's going to keep going, so maybe it makes sense to do next time.
I'm so intrigued.
Who gets custody of you?
No competition here, obviously. Debbie Reynolds.
I know.
I'm surprised that the Fisher kids even kept his last name.
Me too. Why did they do that? Yeah. I'm so intrigued to... do that poll on our Instagram, because I bet somebody will still say Eddie Fisher.
I know. There's always one. Except for Albert Einstein. He got no love whatsoever.
Wow.
Which is crazy, because, like, he was a celebrity in that relationship.
I love those polls, man.
I know.
The past two relationships we've had, they stayed together, so we haven't done it in a bit.
I know. I feel like there have been times when the couples have stayed together and we still did it, but I do worry, like, is it distasteful? Oh, but I guess
I know.
Sad, but one of our couples, Sacha Baron Cohen and Isla Fisher, broke up. Now we can do a little custody battle. I don't know if we should wait a little bit. Oh, also Gypsy Rose and Ryan broke up too.
Oh my gosh.
Within
this has been a crazy time for significant lovers.
I know.
And Robin Suki had a baby.
Yeah. Lots going on.
All like in 1 month this all happened.
I know. Our significant lovers they're busy.
They are. Well, I guess that is the story of Eddie Fisher and Debbie Reynolds. Thank you guys for listening.
Thank you, Kel. That was so interesting. So juicy. Makes me sad though.
I know. I think it was a hard time, but I do think that Debbie Reynolds is a tough lady, and I think she still had good experiences, but it is sad.
I wish that she like went on to found someone who like really valued her, and she lived happily ever after. But I guess
I know
you don't always live happily ever after with a romantic interest, or it's not.
Mm-hmm.
I guess just if it ends badly, doesn't mean that it was bad. I don't know, like her other two husbands, but that's unfortunate though.
I know. I wish that too for her. It does seem like she kind of lived happily ever after next door to her daughter. Like, it seemed like she was really happy living by her, so. All right, well, I already spoiled it. Next week is about, let me tease it. It's about two people we talked about this episode that got together after one of their spouses died. And the other person left their spouse.
Oh my God.
This is a tough one.
Yeah. All right. Well, we'll get back together next week with the mystery couple.
Bye.
Is your heart filled with pain? Shall